Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our Christmas story begins with the angel Gabriel, as told in the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by these words, pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. From the Gospel of Matthew, we hear of Joseph's dilemma and his dream. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way: when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet: "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Luke continues our story with the journey to Bethlehem. "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Luke describes the visions of the shepherds. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told them. From the Gospel of John, our last reading, we hear the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
I'm so grateful for the chance to hear the Christmas story in a way that just seems so clean and professional. Tom, you do such a great job. Now, this is my first Christmas Eve here in person. I was here last year, but we did it all online, and we didn't have the privilege of hearing Tom's rich voice tell the Christmas story. And, of course, we have gifted musicians who have rehearsed and done such good work making sure that we're able to experience this music and get into the sense of Christmas and that spirit. You know, for me, Christmas feels like Christmas because of music. Of course, there's a time and energy and graphics and things. We've got folks on audio and video, and it seems like it's this wonderful professional production. Doesn't it seem like that to you? Yes. Now, if you're someone who's ever experienced childbirth, you know it's nothing like this. To say nothing of childbirth that comes from an unplanned pregnancy, okay? Then you've got, we have to go to our hometown because there's a census, and then there's no room at the hotel, and a child is born in a stable. And of course, I imagine all the animals around watching. It's not a clean, professional kind of environment. And then who shows up? You've got a bunch of shepherds. Can you imagine the smell when they walk in the room? Because they spend their time outdoors and sleeping on the ground and with the sheep. Christmas, like, if you're one of those people who's like, well, maybe I still have time to go to that one last store tonight. Like, it's okay for Christmas to be messy. Because, my friends, Christmas is messy. Like, if we look authentically at the story, Christmas is a messy story. And it's filled with surprises. Arguably the biggest surprise is for Mary. Surprise! But pretty close is Joseph. This woman who you're promised to is going to have a baby. And it's not yours. And what does the culture and the tradition of your time tell you? Surprise. Imagine being the shepherds, watching over their flock in the fields by night, as the scripture says. Can you imagine the shepherds as suddenly they have a collective hallucination? I mean, that's probably what it felt like for them. I don't know if any of you have had some sort of divine experience. I've only had one, and it was so weird, I wondered if I needed to go see my doctor. Can you imagine the shepherds in the field when suddenly in the darkness it gets suddenly brighter, and there's lights, and there's singing? Surprise! But I wonder how often it happens for us that in the middle of the messiest parts of our lives, surprise, here's a chance for hope. Here's that little spark that just shows up at exactly the right time. That maybe it's not all as bad as you feared it would be. Maybe hope isn't lost. My friends, not only are we in the midst of the messiness of Christmas, and who knows who has to still do some shopping tonight, but it's yet another COVID Christmas. There are thousands of people in this country who are isolating at home for Christmas. Christmas is messy. But my friends, I suggest that the light still shines, that hope is still possible. Do you know why? Think about the story we heard. Think about all these people who participate. You've got Mary, who finds out that she's going to have a baby by some mysterious means. And how does she respond? All right. Let it be as you have said. Joseph, although the culture tells him that he's got to divorce Mary quietly or worse, he says, nope, I'm in. The shepherds who have a collective questionable experience, and yet they say, I'm going to pay attention and I'm going to look and see what this spark reminds me about. And later on, you got wise men coming from the east who journey so far. What makes the story beautiful is that everybody shows up. But think about this modern illustration. Think about the moment that you were in this room and it started to feel like Christmas. Was it maybe when people started lighting candles about the room? Was it maybe when the Christ candle was lit? Maybe it was when we sang together that first Christmas carol. See, my friends, you showed up. Not to leave our online folks out, you showed up too. And maybe, as Tom suggested, you sang along. And maybe, and I know it was a flub, Tom, but I liked it. Maybe together we made some good noise. Made some good noise to make some good news. Why, my friends? Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Listen, we all come into this place from different backgrounds, and I see faces out there of folks who are regular attenders in this worship service, and I see some faces out there that I've never seen you before, and that's all great. That's incredible. And you might be a deeply religious person, and you might be here because a family member made you, and all of that's okay too. I suggest that many of us, most of us, have a sense that whatever language we use, that there is something bigger than us in the universe. And it is that something in the universe that brings us the opportunity for hope, that opportunity to see the light in the darkness. But does that light show up on its own? I believe it can. But I believe it's so much more visible and tangible when we collectively, together, show up and share it. My friends, this is Christmas. A Christmas that's messy. But look. Look for the spark. Look for the spark that might inspire in you just the briefest moment of hope and light and love. Because, my friends, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it.